That's hard to follow that stuff, man. I told Destiny, I said, when he gets up there, like, he makes you, like, you just can't follow all that. I don't even want to preach. I just want to come hug everybody. I'm sitting there in my seat, I want to go, I just want to run and hug everybody. Oh my gosh, it's good to be home. I love you. I love you. I love it. 9 years ago, the Lord called us to go to Florida to start a church, and it's one of the toughest things that we had ever done. I was born and raised in Lorain and went to Lorain High School, lived here my whole life, and that's the only place I've ever moved to. We moved to Amherst, and Keith helped me build a house out there, and we just started. It's just been amazing, amazing. How many have never, have no clue who I am or have ever seen me before? Anybody? Like, quite a few. How many of you have never seen the video about me dying? A few folks. I'm not even going to show it, but we were jogging, got about 0.2 miles from my house, and my heart went to V-fib. I had played basketball all night long the night before with all the kids, and we played ball all night long. And it's probably 3 or 4 in the morning, went to bed, woke up 7 o'clock, said, I'm going to jog, I'm going to take off. You want to go, Bobby? And she said, yeah, let me get my stuff. I'll take Destiny to school, and I'll go with you. And we took off jogging and got just a little bit from the house, and my heart went to V-fib, and I just dropped dead. I had 99% blockage in the Widowmaker artery, dropped dead. And Bobby didn't even come to me. I'd had ran ahead of her a little ways, and she didn't even come to me. She said she knew the way I hit and flipped and no life in me that I was dead, and she ran, beating on houses. Finally found a sheriff at 9 o'clock in the morning in our neighborhood who ran to me. He said when he got there, I was blue and cold. All the life was gone from my body. He did mouth-to-mouth, tried to get me going, couldn't get a heartbeat. Finally, he went to his trunk, got an AED machine, hit me with the AED machine, got a little heartbeat, and they took me immediately to the hospital when the ambulance got there, and they kept me in a coma. I was in a coma for 3 days, and the fourth day, the Holy Spirit brought me out. Amen. Amen. And it's been supernatural, miraculous since that point. I mean, it was always supernatural and miraculous in my life. Me being here is supernatural and miraculous, if you only knew. But, man, it's been... the church is filled. We started the church in Naples. My wife, Bobby, and Destiny, we didn't know anybody. We moved to Naples, Florida. We had never been to Naples, Florida. Just got off the freeway and went, we're supposed to be here. And I called Pastor, and Pastor's like, come on, I really believe it's a word from God for you. And he spoke prophetically into my life and said, there are people waiting on you to start this church. You've got to start. And since that point, our church is filled with miraculous things, just as yours is. Seeing Crystal up there singing, man, just... That's an in-your-face, devil. That's in-your-face. And, you know, stage 4 cancer in our church is common to be healed. I've got lots of folks who stand there today who were diagnosed to go home and die. There's nothing we can do. It's inoperable. And the Lord has healed them. And I don't know what your expectation is for today, but I believe God's going to do something amazing in your life today. Amen? I want you to hear from the family. Is Jordan here yet? He's on his way. Bobby, you and Destiny come. I want you to hear from Bobby and Destiny and kind of hear what God's been doing in them. And I'm in danger of doing this, two women getting a mic. It could be over, but that's all good. It's all good.
I was kind of shy when I left here, but I'm not anymore. I just want to say that praise is a weapon. And as Crystal was up here praising the Lord and singing, that was such a perfect song. Just to praise you, God. I just want, there's praise. There's power in praise. And this morning, as I was reading over, I opened up my journal and I flipped to the last day of 2015. And I was just reading over what I wrote the end of December. And it was that he inhabits the praises of his people. And, you know, if you just think about an uninhabited place, and how desolate that could be. And when we praise the Lord and it brings in his presence, it brings in, and anywhere God's presence is, it brings life. And so I don't know what you may, you know, all of us, we have so many things that we go through in our lives, and but God wants, any time that we find ourselves in a desolate place, a dry or a place where it seems like we don't even know what to do or there's no life, if we just praise him, just try it. Just I praise you, God, and I just invite you into the situation. He's faithful and he brings life. And back, Greg shared about what we went through 6 years ago, and that was a place of my faith where I had to stand in my faith, and just everything that I had, every sermon, pastor, that you had preached, every song that I had sung, everything, every word that had been, I had read and been spoken into my life, at that point, that's what I stood on. There wasn't a time to try to figure out, God, what, you know, no, what was in me, I was able to stand on at that moment. And God took me to a trusting place. I didn't know if Greg was going to live or die. At that moment, he was gone, and he was blue, and he was gurgling, and it was just really ugly, and it was just, I didn't know. It didn't look good when we got to the hospital. The doctor had said that one pupil was dilated, the other one wasn't, and that usually means brain damage, and so I just, there was so, thank you for all of you that were praying here, but there was, I knew that my trust, God wants us to go to a trusting place in him. It's a trusting place where we can trust him no matter what. And it's not, my trust that day was not in a miracle. Like, we can sometimes, you know, find ourselves putting a trust in a miracle. But no, our trust is in God. We have a mighty God that we serve. And when we praise him no matter what. We praise God. We can trust him with our life, with everything in us. We trust you, God. We're nothing without you. So we just trust the Lord. We praise him, and he's faithful. He's so faithful. And I'm not the one preaching.
Okay, so we've been gone. I mean, give Bobby a hand, everybody. We've been gone 9 years. So Destiny was seven. She was almost seven when we left. And so we're driving around yesterday, and we went and picked cherries. We went to Vermilion, picked cherries, and we picked strawberries, and we're driving, and the corn's about that tall in the field. And now she is really brunette. She's not blonde. But we're driving, and she says to me, "Daddy, what do they do with the corn when it snows?" I'm like, "Destiny." She goes, "Oh, they harvest it. They harvest it." She's the best. She's our worship leader in youth ministry. She's got a voice to sing. She is so anointed. And she's the joy of our lives. Our son Jordan is doing great. Jordan is 26 years old. He's a golf pro in Florida. And he's a teacher and teaches children and attends our church every week. And it's just amazing. We're grandparents. We have two grandbabies. But I want you to hear from my little worship leader. Let me let you hear from Des.
Hi. Last time most of you saw me, I was like a lot shorter to the floor, but I grew not much, but a little bit. Anyways, Dad just asked me if I could share a scripture with you guys, and the scripture that just came to my mind was Psalm 63:3. And when David wrote this, he was in the desert, in this dry and weary land, and he wasn't worried about all the negative things, that he was thirsty and that he didn't have like all of the stuff that he needed, but he said, "Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you." And that's just kind of my life first. Like, even when things aren't going great, you know, it's our job to praise him and lift up our praise to him. Just like Mom was saying, our praise is a weapon. And that's just what I wanted to share with you guys. So even when things aren't going great or there's trials and tribulations in your life, just praise the Lord. Give him all the praise.
Taking this. I want to share the word with you. So if you got a Bible, let's get into the word together. Just get it ready, okay? I believe that somebody in the room is going to get a breakthrough today. I really believe God didn't bring me all the way 20 hours in my car driving all the way up here to get up here and just give you a cute 3 points in a poem message. I really believe that somebody's about to get a breakthrough. I believe God's going to do something huge in the room today. I know Stan's been telling me, you know, about all that is going on in his life. And he said, hey, your friend Kevin from school, me and Kevin graduated together. Your friend Kevin's coming today and he needs a healing in his ear. And he's coming believing God that God's going to heal the ringing in his ear. And I know that they're family here, that you guys are family to me. And some of you haven't been connected to the Lord the way you need to be. You're here because you wanted to come and reconnect and just honor Bobby and I, and we're blessed that you're here. But my prayer is that you'll touch heaven today. My prayer is that you'll reconnect with the God of the universe today and that your destiny will be altered. Everybody stand on your feet with me right now. I want you to turn to somebody on your right and left, grab a hold of somebody, and I want you to pray for them, and I want you to tell God, God, if you bless them, I'll praise you like I just got blessed. Come on, I want you to just tell them, God, if you'll bless them, I'll praise you like it was me that received from heaven. Father, let the glory of God fill this tabernacle today, Lord. God, open our ears to hear and stir us with a word that will alter the destiny of our future, Lord. God, I thank you that you know the plans that you have for us. Plans of a hope and a future. And we will receive today in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. I want you to know something. We're living in a prophetic window. We're living in a prophetic window of opportunity. And most of us in this room are somewhere between our pain and a promise. We're somewhere between what God has spoken into our lives and what we're experiencing right now. But I want you to know something. God is moving, and it is not an accident that you're here today. We all know that God's getting ready to release something on the earth. You just sense it in the air. The times and the seasons, we know. We don't actually know exactly how. We don't know when. But everybody, all over the earth, all believers know something's about to happen. And you got to make a decision in your mind. Are you going to focus on the negativity of this world, the demonic forces of this world, and all the evil that is being personified in the earth? Or are you going to focus on the prophetic opportunity that we have as believers to bring a now word and bring people into breakthrough? You got to make a decision where you're going to go in this. If you focus on Orlando and all the hatred and evil of everything that just happened there and what's going to happen next and how this whole thing is going to play out. If you get it into your mind and you start worrying about what's going to happen next, and if your voice is everything's falling apart and it's getting ready to get ugly around here, or are you speaking prophetically into the time and the season that we live in and saying, no, when evil abounds, grace much more abounds. And no matter how bad it looks on the outside, on the inside, there's a river flowing out of our bellies. Amen. I just believe that with all of my heart. God's about to release something on the earth. I was getting ready and preparing myself to come. I've known for months that I was going to be here, and I was preparing myself for what God wanted to say, and I began to watch some things about the region and looking at what's going on in Cleveland and seeing, and man, I was so excited when LeBron and the Cavaliers won that championship. I thought I was going to, I don't know what I was going to do then, but they were videoing me because we were in the car, and I was watching it on my iPad driving down the road, and I was man, I had to get in the back seat. I was like, you guys drive. Because my legs was going. I couldn't sit still. I was doing 90. I was doing 95. I slowed down to 45. I'm here, you guys drive. I can't do this. But I was watching the internet, and I typed in there something about Cleveland, and Heidi Baker was in downtown Cleveland. And Heidi Baker is a prophetess of the Lord, a woman with great vision, and she was preaching and prophesying, and Heidi was saying, I believe over the city of Cleveland there's coming a revival where 100,000 people will be saved in a moment. Like in one service, there'll be 100,000 people getting saved. And I'm watching all this and reading that. And we've had the privilege of having some mighty great men of God come to Destiny and speak a word into our church. And all of them are prophesying about this Florida breakthrough that's getting ready to happen, this revival that's going to break out over Florida, and how it started in Brownsville and then it went to Lakeland, and now it's getting ready to break out again. And everywhere you go, it doesn't matter where you're at, we all believe it's in our city. It's going to happen here. It's going to start here, and it's just going to filter out through the earth, and revival is going to break out. I mean, we believe that, we sense that, we know that in our hearts. But I'm telling you, as we get closer and closer to those breakthroughs and those revival meetings and the outpouring of the presence of God, there is an onslaught from hell to keep it from happening. There is an attack of the enemy to bring discouragement, to bring offenses, and to separate. In the last days, anything that can be shaken will be shaken. But I want you to know, God is going to pour His Spirit out on all flesh. I just know, you know, through the years, you know, whenever you get ready to go to church, don't it seem like all hell breaks loose when you get ready to go to church? It's crazy. Like, you're just getting ready to go on a Sunday morning, and everything in the world is going on like the kids can't find their shoes. Like, they just had their shoes on. They went to bed with shoes. They had shoes when they came in the house, but you can't find the shoes on Sunday morning. It's like, are you kidding me? Where are your shoes at? Your husband turns into the biggest jerk, don't he? I mean, my wife be looking at me, she'll be calling me, whoa! She just gets so mad sometimes. It's like, it's only on the day that you're getting ready to go to the house of the Lord. Women, you can't find your eyeliner, or you run out of eyeliner. Like, how you run out of eyeliner on Sunday morning? You got it all week long, but I can't go like this, one eye on, one eye off. Come on, some of you had a bad hair day today. I'm looking out there going, you made it through it, you came anyways. Amen. You go to get dressed, nothing fits. Everything's like, I feel like you're about to bust out of everything. Man, what happened? Anybody got a story today? I mean, I got some stories. I can tell you some stories. The devil doesn't want you to get to church because he doesn't want you to upset his plans. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans that I have for you, plans of a hope and a future. But you better know that the devil knows he has plans as well. And our job is to upset the devil's plans. I want you to know, I want to prophetically speak over this church, over my people, my friends, and my family here. You're about to experience the best year you've ever had in your life. Some of you can't even clap for it because you're just like, oh, that's just words. It is not just words. I am speaking prophetically that the last half of this year is going to be the best half you've ever experienced in your life. And the Holy Spirit of God is about to release something in your life. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2:9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor things entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those that love Him. This is a strategic moment in time. It's a strategic moment when your faith is about to accelerate. Your faith has got to accelerate. What used to take 10 years is going to happen in a year. What used to take a year is going to happen in a moment. We're at a place where things have got to accelerate. We're living in the last days. This is the fullness of time. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. There is no time in heaven. And the closer we get to eternity, the faster things are speeding up. We used to go play, Doug. We'd go play, and it seemed like we played, man, it's just all day. You didn't get tired. You're out there all day. Now you wake up in the morning, have a cup of coffee, and you're going back to bed. It's like the weeks from Sunday to Sunday. I preach a message on Sunday, and I feel like, okay, we're right back. I'm preaching again. I feel like I'm in Groundhog's Day. Am I right? It's just sped up, and it's because we're getting closer to the end of time. Things are accelerating, and it's the same in our faith. Things have got to begin to accelerate in our faith. We got to move into a rapid pace. We don't have time to wait for you to grow up anymore. We don't have time for you to wait and try to get a word. You got to have a word in your belly. You got to get stirred inside of your heart to say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. We don't have the luxury of time. We can't wait because things have digressed so quickly in our country. Things have digressed so quickly. What used to be sacred and holy isn't sacred and holy anymore. What used to, you would never dream the body of Christ would allow in their life, now is acceptable and common. Christianity is under attack. We're in a crisis. Our faith has got to get moving in warp speed. You got to realize you're anointed. You are chosen. God has a plan for you. You got to realize it's not this pastoral team. It's not their job. It's not their job. It is our job. It is every one of us. You need to own the time that we're living in and say, I got to get out. I got to give the message. I got to preach the gospel. I don't know what to say. He'll give you the words to say. You just step out in your faith and realize your hands are anointed to heal. Your voice is anointed with a prophetic word. Our faith has got to get moving. We got to get a deeper understanding of faith. People who are of faith are called believers. I'm a believer. When you've been dead for 4 days, you're a believer. I'm a believer, but I'm also a man of great faith. My faith is the motivating factor of my life, not my believing. There are a lot of people that are believers, but don't walk in faith. Come on. I'm a believer. I'm a faith guy. Faith is what I do. It's the way I roll. I'm a faith guy. I'm not trying to believe. I'm not hoping to believe. I'm a believer, but I'm also a man of faith. And my faith isn't weak. It has a little attitude. I can't help it. My faith has an attitude. If you push on my faith will push back. Yes. Don't mistake my humility with weakness, Cynthia. Come on. Everybody say, oh, Pastor Greg, you're so humble. I am humble. And I realize God has given me everything that I have and that I have nothing to say unless he gives me something to say. But I want you to know something. Don't confuse my humility with weakness. I am a man of faith and I stand on faith. I'm not looking for evidence for my faith to stand on. The fact that I have faith is evidence that I am a man of faith. I'm not in search of evidence. Faith doesn't need something to stand on. Faith is what I stand on. You need to understand this is what life is about. This is what it's all about, faith. When you have faith, you are committed to progress. This has to hit somebody in the room. When you have faith, you're committed to progress. Tom Evans, I love you. I could kiss your face off. The day that I walked into this church, Tom Evans greeted me with a holy kiss. He kissed me right on my cheek and he said, brother, I hope that doesn't offend you, but the Bible says, greet your brothers with a holy kiss. I've been changed by you, Tom Evans. I've been changed by you. I'm just telling you, but I want you to tell everyone. You may have been in this church as long as Tom. You may have been here your whole life, but I'm telling you, your faith has got to progress beyond where you're at now. You can't sit here and eat and eat and eat the word that is being preached and sit there and look like a oompa loompa oompa 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 dee doo preaching another word for me, brother. We just sit there and eat and eat and eat when God says your faith has got to accelerate. You've got to know who you are in Christ and you've got a word in your belly. You've got an anointing on your life. Faith is not passive. It doesn't settle. Faith is progressive. I need to think differently. I got to wake up every day and renew my mind. You have to think differently. You've got to accelerate your faith. Faith progress is always met with resistance. Whenever I make up my mind that I'm going to do something, it doesn't matter what it is. I can wake up in the morning and say, I am going to start today working out. And I work out 2-3 weeks in a row and then all of a sudden I'm back to eating crazy food again. Every time you make a decision to step out in faith, you are going to be met with opposition. Most of us don't even realize how much our faith is growing. But your faith is growing. There is no way to sit under that man's preaching every week and hear the word that he preaches every week and your faith not grow. It is growing. It may be incremental. It may be slow. You may not see the progress, but I'm telling you, your faith is growing. I don't know about you, but it seems like sometimes I'm not getting anywhere. It seems like I start out and I'm doing really well, and then the same old struggles keep coming back. Time and time again, I find myself in the same battles that I had already conquered. But I'm going to tell you something. My faith is growing. My faith is growing because faith is progressive. You don't think you're making any progress, but your faith is, it's in a process and it's growing. And sometimes the best way to see contrast or see your faith and to see how much you've grown is when contrast comes into your life. You don't even realize how good God's been to you till you go to till you go back to your high school reunion and look at everybody and go, man, God's been good to me. Right? You'd be like, man, Lord been good to me, bro. Sometimes you don't even know how much your faith's grown until you get around some old people you used to hang out with and start listening to them and see the way they live, and you go, man, I ain't like that no more. You may have knew me then, but you don't know me now. You need to know me now. Our faith is growing. Faith is progressive. There's always progress in the body of Christ. I'm telling you, there's progress in the body of Christ. When I was a little boy, I grew up Pentecostal Holiness. On Russia Road, off of Baumhart Road to Russia Road, there's a little Pentecostal church there, Free Pentecostal Church of God. And there's a little holiness church. And there was about 50 people, sometimes 60. And they were old. There wasn't no young people there. I left when I got about 16 to go to Christian Life Church over on West Theory Avenue because Jim Justice had all the cute girls going to his church. Yeah, but I grew up on Russia Road. And them people was old, and they, you know, I thank God for my heritage. I ain't beating it down. I thank God for it. It's still in me. I'm still holiness. I still had that embedded into my character. But when I was a kid, girls wasn't allowed to wear makeup. Which didn't affect me because I didn't wear no makeup anyways. But I asked one of the mothers of the church, I said, how come you guys don't wear makeup? Like, mommy, why are the women not wearing makeup? She said, well, we don't want nobody to lust. I'm looking at our church going, that ain't the problem in here. I don't think that's a problem for us anymore. Oh, Lord, sometimes you need to put some paint on the barn, you know what I'm saying? You got to paint the barn up. <That's> like, oh, I'm telling you, we weren't allowed to watch TV. You know, the TV was a one-eyed devil. Back then we had antennas on the TV, and they used to say that TV's a one-eyed devil with two horns and a tail plugged into the wall. You can't be watching no TV. Crazy. And we all try to outdo each other with holy. We're going to be a more holy than them. And one time they told us, we ain't drinking no more Coca-Cola. I said, are you kidding me? I'm just a young boy. I'm like, are you kidding me? They said, we ain't drinking no more Coca-Cola in this church. I said, why are we not drinking Coca-Cola in this church? They said, because the bottle is shaped like a woman. I said, are you kidding me? This is a two-liter church in here. That ain't no wig. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, help me, Jesus. Oh, man. Oh, man. I'm glad the church has progressed. That's one generation. That's one generation ago. We progressed now. You know, they wouldn't even let us go to the movies because that was a, you know, you go to the movies, that was a dark room, that was a hell hole. You can't go in that old hell hole. I'm like, now we own TV stations. Yeah, you didn't want us to go to the movies. We own TV stations now. They didn't want us to, you know what I'm saying? That's just garbage. But I'm so glad that the church has progressed a little. We're making progress, but I want you to know something. In our progress, when you read the Bible, when you get into the scripture and you start studying the word of God, you'll see where there comes a place in the scripture where God has to move us from progress to promotion. Like God has to take time out of the equation. You get to a place and you read the scripture and it's a place when all of a sudden everything changes and time isn't a factor anymore. It's a place when God comes down and takes time out. Every time you read of the word progress in the New King James and the King James Bible, it's mentioned about 7 or 8 times in there. Every time it mentions progress, it's a process. It says this, in the process of time. In the process of time. When God wants to process something, he puts it in time. He interjects time into the equation. In the Bible, when you read in Exodus, I think it's Exodus chapter 14, and you read about Lucifer who was in heaven as an angel. And he was in heaven as an angel, and when God decided to change Lucifer's status, he imprisoned him in time. He said, I will exalt myself and I'll be like the Most High. And the Bible says, and I saw Satan fall like lightning. And God said, now, because of your rebellion, you are going to be imprisoned in time. There's no time in heaven. I mean, look at that booger's days are numbered. I'm telling you, he can do whatever he wants to do. He can act any way he wants to act. But I'm telling you, the devil's days are numbered. And we're about to bruise his head. When Adam transgressed the law of God, God removed Adam from the garden. And I always thought that was a part of Adam's punishment, that he got kicked out of the garden because of his rebellion. But I'm here to tell you, that was not Adam's punishment to be removed from the garden. That was the grace of God. That was the grace of God. If Adam had partaken of the tree of life while he was in the garden, he would have forever been imprisoned in an unredeemed body on the earth. It wasn't punishment, it was grace. Therefore, God had to change Adam's position, and he placed him in a span of days called a lifetime. Look at Genesis 3:22. Turn there with me. Genesis 3:22. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and he take of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden to till the ground from which he was taken. It wasn't punishment. It was grace. It was grace. So God placed Adam in time and gave him a lifetime so he could send Christ on time to redeem man from time to live in heaven with no time. That's a lot of times, but you've got to understand, this is God's plan. There's a difference between process and promotion. And oftentimes in scripture, we get to a place where there's a tipping point. We get to a place where there's a tipping point. This is where we are on the earth today. We're at a tipping point. It's a place. Anybody know what a tipping point is? A tipping point is a place where what's working against you starts working for you. It's a place where what's working against you starts working for you. It's a place where something has to change so fast. Something just, it just changes in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. It just changes. And everything that was against you is now working for you. It's a place where people are going to look at you and be amazed. I have known you for 10 years. How did you change from this to that? How in a moment are all of a sudden you different? Well, what happened in your life? It's that tipping point in your life. A tipping point is a place where everything, where something just becomes irreversible and unstoppable. It becomes irreversible and unstoppable. If you could just picture with me, if I could give you a visual of it, if we were to take and pull a little car out on this stage, and we pulled a little Volkswagen or something out on the stage, and me and Troy and Jordan, my son, and Louie, and we got, just the four of us got over on that little car, we could get down at the bottom of that little car and lift it. Ugh. Ugh. Gravity is working against us. But we get to a place about right here where everything that's working against me now begins to work for me. And all of a sudden something happens. Gravity has to release its hold. And it becomes a tipping point when that thing is thrust forward and you can't stop it. I'm telling you, the body of Christ is at a tipping point. We're at a place in our faith where we got to say, I can't wait for something to happen. I got to make something happen now. I can't wait. I got to see myself prospering now. Gravity has to lose its hold. We get to a place in time where we've come to a tipping point. There's a shift. You can only go so fast, and then you got to shift, and you get to a place in the spiritual realm. We've come to that place. The thing that's been holding you back, the thing that's been working against you, is going to begin to work for you. That's the reason that the devil is fighting so hard. That's the reason that that it seems like all hell is breaking loose in your life. But I've got some good news. Your faith's about to kick into warp speed. You're about to be everything that's been prophesied over your life. You're about to come into a new season and a new time where the blessing of God is going to be outpoured over your life and the glory of God is going to fill your life. It's a shift. It's a tipping point. It's irreversible and unstoppable. A place where time comes out of the equation. In John chapter 2 and verse number 1. On the third day there was a wedding in Canaan of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? Mine hour has not come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." Now there were 6 water pots there of stone according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he spoke to them, "Draw some water out now and take it to the master of the feast," and they took it. Jesus says to his mother, "My time has not come. Mine hour has not come." Now, I can't tell you, you know, exactly how it played out. I read the scripture, but I got a visual in my mind of what this looked like. That Jesus' mother comes to him and tells him that we need some wine. Go get us some wine. "Mom, I'm sorry, woman." He called her woman. That's crazy. "Woman, my time has not come." I picture her just looking at him and saying, "Boy, don't tell me. I know who your daddy is. I know what you're capable of doing." That's right. She looks past Jesus. Don't even acknowledge him. Just looks past him. Says to the disciples, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." And I picture her saying, "I am still your mother. And there better be some wine coming through this door in a minute." Give you the best preacher I can ever give you. Whatever your mother tells you to do, do it. Amen. Amen. He says, "Give me 6 water pots." Tells the disciples to fill them with water. They're come. We've come to a place where time is being pulled out of the equation. In order to get wine out of grapes, you've got to gather the grapes, wash the grapes, smash the grapes, ferment the grapes. You've got to get all this process. In the process of time, there has this process. But God says, "I don't have time to wait on the process. I've got to do something now. I got to take what 1 minute is water and the next minute wine." I'm telling you, God wants to do something in your life right now where he takes you into that place where time isn't a factor anymore. 1 minute sinner, next minute saved, 1 minute addicted, next minute set free, 1 minute lost and on your way to hell, next minute on your way to heaven. Next minute anointed and laying hands on sick and watching them recover. This is the point we're in time. It's a faith time. It's an accelerated faith time. Because of the crisis, Jesus didn't have time for the process. Because of the crisis that we're living in America, we don't have time for you to go through the process and waiting for you to grow up. You need to square your shoulders up and realize greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You need to realize, you need to speak to that darkness and command it out of your house. We're in a crisis. This world has lost its mind. They've lost their mind. We don't have time to go through a process anymore. We got to get people off the streets and get a Bible in their hands and tell them, get on the streets. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You got to move from the process to the promotion. You got to know who you are. We're coming into a day where it is not acceptable for you to show up at church every week and just sit there and eat and receive and eat and receive. You got to be active in your faith. You got to progress beyond just coming and going. You got to get to going. You have to enlarge your faith. We're at a tipping point in time. It needs to happen quickly. If you need something, anything to happen quickly in your life, shout yes! 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 We got to move from process to promotion. In Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one place in one accord, and suddenly, there got to be some suddenly moments. When I was laying there dead on the ground, and Bobby grabbed a hold of my feet and said, Jesus, we need him. There wasn't time to go through a process. Life needed to come into my body now. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are up at the gate, and the lame man is being carried there. And he says, look on us. And in verse number 7, they took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately strength came to his ankle bones. We're at a place in time where we need suddenly moments. We need immediately moments. You've got to get your mind out of the driver's seat. You got to get your mind out of the driver's seat. I'm not smart enough. I don't know enough. God couldn't use me. I got to go get the preacher. Get the preacher over here. No, you are the preacher. It is inside of you. It has been deposited on you. Generation, year after year, you have heard it. Now begin to activate it. Amen. Our God is a God of the impossible. He can take you from process to promotion in a heartbeat. Sometimes it don't make no sense. Things just don't make no sense. But you got to get your spirit in control. What God is getting ready to do will not fit in the confines of your mind. You've got to stand in the absence of evidence and speak loudly. The curse is over. It's over. I am not weak. I am not wimpy. I am not just somebody. I am anointed and chosen. I am a priest in the kingdom of God. I have the power. I have the authority. And I can use my authority to break the chains off the darkness. 1 Kings 18, verse 42. Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth. He put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up and look toward the sea. And he went up and he looked, and there was nothing. And he said, go look again 7 times. And it came to pass on the 7th time that, behold, there arises a cloud of the sea like a man's hand. And he rose and he went to Ahab and said, prepare your chariot to get down from here before the rain stops you, because I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. He told his prophet, he told his servant, said, go look. Go look and see what you see. He said, I'm not seeing anything. He said, go look again. Go look again. Servant said to the prophet, I am not seeing what you're saying. I don't see what you're saying. Prophet said, I'm not changing what I'm saying because you're not seeing what I'm saying. I'm going to keep saying what I know. When what you see doesn't line up with what you know, stay with what you know, because what you see will change. I don't think I'm that guy. I don't think I can do it. I am telling you prophetically, it's about to rain. It's about to rain in your life. Look again. Church on the North Coast, it's about to rain. It's about to rain on this city. It's about to rain on the darkness of this city. It's about to rain in this region. It's about to rain all over your life, all over your lost children. It's about to rain. You didn't train that knucklehead up not to know God. You trained them up in the way of the Lord, and they will return to the house of the Lord. They will not be lost. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. It's getting ready to rain. Getting ready to rain. Acts 16:23. they laid many stripes on them and they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, they put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas was praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was an earthquake so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. It didn't make any sense to be singing and praising God when you just got beat down and locked up. But I want you to know something. Everybody connected to them got free. Most of the stuff you're going through right now isn't even about you. Oh, God, help me, Lord. I'm in the biggest fight of my life. Devil trying to kill me. I'm telling you, it ain't even about you. It isn't even about you. It didn't have anything to do with you. It's all about the people you're connected to. And I want you to know something. The blessing of the God of heaven is not for you. It's for everybody connected to you. You are blessed to be a blessing. Your accelerated faith is about to affect everybody connected to you. God wants you to accelerate your faith. He wants you to operate in the supernatural. This is a prophetic moment, and I declare over this house, this will be a summer of miracles. A summer of miracles in your life. You're about to have the best year you've ever had, but it isn't about you. It's about everybody connected to you. The more I get blessed, the more my children get blessed. Come on. The more I get blessed, the more my church gets blessed. The more I receive from God, the more I pour out to them. The more that you receive it, the more that you pour it out. He said, out of your belly shall flow a river of living water. And everywhere the water goes, life comes. You're getting blessed to be a blessing. You're getting free so you can get others free. God's about to move you from process to promotion. Things that have been locked are getting ready to be unlocked. Oh, you don't hear me. Things that have been locked are about to be unlocked. Come on. Hearts that have been locked up are getting ready to get unlocked. People that wouldn't receive from you are about to receive from you. Addictions that have kept people in bondage are about to get come off of them. All doors are open. All doors are open. All doors are open. Look again. Well, I've tried. I've witnessed to them. I've been over that. I've done that. I don't care. Look again. I'm not changing what I'm saying because you're not seeing what I'm saying. There is an anointing on this church. There is an anointing in this region. There is a fire in this place. And God wants to let it spread through this city. It's a summer of miracles. You need a suddenly moment in your life. In Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son to be born of a woman under law. We're at a place at the fullness of time. You can't keep running. You can't keep putting off what you need to do. You've got to surrender all to God. It is a God first moment. To redeem those who are under the law, that they might receive the adoption as sons. There are people in this room right now, you're listening to me preaching, you think that's pretty good, and you're not responding because inside of you, there's death. And God says, I'm going to bring it to life in a moment. All you got to do is open your heart and believe me and believe my word. Hear my prophet. Hear my word. No, it's about to rain in your life. It doesn't, listen to me. When God created Adam on this earth, he didn't create him as a baby. He created him as a man. He said, look, I don't have time to go through the process. Listen, God wants to bring you into the kingdom of God and change your status. You are not a loser. You are not defeated. You've been hurt. You've been wounded. You've been pushed down. But God says, I'll bring all that to my cross and I'll heal it and bring you out a child of the Most High God. Everybody stand up on your feet with me, please. Hallelujah. It's a moment in time where God says, I got to take time out of the equation. I got to change somebody today. Today has to come a moment in time where you go, okay, I'm ready to surrender all. Some of you that are here, you know, you've been serving God for a long time, and God says, I'm glad, I love you, you're on your way to heaven, but I got to move you out of your comfortable seat and get you back on the front lines again. I got to open your mouth and let you begin to speak the word of the Lord to bring those that are in darkness out. You need to be challenged. You need to be challenged. This is a prophetic window that we're in. The more darkness increases, the more the light shines brighter. He's the light of the world. And he hasn't forgot about you. God hasn't given up on you. You remember where you was at? You remember where you was at as a young boy? You remember where you was at when God filled your life, when the Spirit of God moved you and you began to evangelize in the city and evangelize at your school, and now you're just cold and indifferent towards God? God says, listen, I want you in the kingdom, but this isn't even about you. I'm going to get you. I'm going to bring you to the place, but I've got to get your children.
That's right.
You got to know this. You got to understand this. Can you picture with me? I was dead. Is it possible? Ty, is it possible that God kept me alive for this Sunday morning? I mean, could it be? I hope it ain't. Honestly, I hope it ain't. I hope I got a lot more time. Like, I ain't ready to go. I got grandkids. But what if it was for this moment? What if God brought life back into my body so the pastor would ask me to come and preach so I could stand on this stage and declare to you, stop running from God. God loves you. He has a plan for your life. He hasn't given up on you. He hasn't turned his back on you. You may have felt like others have failed you and others didn't meet your expectations, but God says, I have never failed you. I've even blessed you in your rebellion. I've even blessed you in your rebellion. You've been running and doing the wrong thing, and I've still blessed you because I love you and I've got a plan for your life. I'll tell you what, if he calls me home tonight, I'll stand before him and say, God, I told him hell wasn't created for you. Hell was not created for you or your family. You have no right to go there. You have no right to go there. Jesus died for your sins and he gave himself on a cross for you. But I can do what I want to do. I'm telling you, you can't. I ain't letting you. I'm not letting you. I'm here to tell you it's time to surrender your life to God. God's going to take time out of the equation. He's going to bring you out of the process and bring you right to the cross. And God's going to bless your life like you've never been blessed. Do you believe that? Give God a praise in here. Everybody bow your hearts before the Lord. Bow your hearts before the Lord. If you were to die today, where will you spend eternity? If you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? Are you at the place where you're just a believer? I'm a believer. That's good enough. You got to move into faith. You got to move out of believing and get into faith. You got to become a faith woman. You got to become a faith man. You wake up in the morning, you think, look out, devil, here I come. Look out, world, I'm coming with the love of God. Where will you spend eternity? He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. How about the love of God? How about the love of God to bring you into the church one more time to hear his word? That he brought you back one more time to hear how much he loves you. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is promised to no one. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to take a bold step of faith. I don't care if you've done it 1,000 times. I swear, man, when I grew up in that little Pentecostal church, I got saved every Sunday night. They preached on hell, and I was up at that altar. God, I don't want to go to hell. I knew the fish. I got baptized. I knew every fish in that water. I don't know how many times I've been baptized. But one day at 17, I went, and the man was playing the piano, and he played Jesus Loves Me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that day I surrendered my life to Jesus, and I've never been the same. I don't know how many times you've had to come to this altar, but don't let it stop right now. If you were to die right now and you're not sure you'd go to heaven, if there's any kind of question in your heart, you say, you know what, I know there's some things that God's not pleased with in my life, and I need to bring it to the altar. I want to be set free. I don't want to live in that bondage anymore. I'm tired of slow growth. I want some immediate growth in my life. If the Holy Spirit is dealing with you right now, on the count of three, I want you to lift your hand boldly to God and allow Him to bring you into that place of forgiveness. Jesus. Jesus. One, if God's dealing with you, I don't care if you, well, don't even worry about what anybody thinks. My God, it's heaven. It's Jesus. It's about your children. It's about you. It's about your family. One, two, three, just lift your hand to the Lord if God's speaking to you right now. God's speaking to you right now, and you know He's talking clearly to you right now. He said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Every hand that is raised right now with boldness and aggression and passion, run to this altar right now. Just run right now to this altar. Don't worry about what anybody thinks. Turn to somebody beside you and say, did you lift your hand? I'll go with you now. And just run to Jesus. If you need it right now, run to Jesus. He's here. He's here. Run to Jesus. Just do it. If you're thinking, should I or shouldn't I, get out of your seat and run to Jesus. He's welcoming you with open arms. His forgiveness is right here, right now. Run to the Father. Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship the Lord, everybody. Let's worship Jesus. Jesus.
Forget the former things. Behold, He's doing a new thing right here, right now. In this moment, we surrender. Forget the former things. Behold, He's doing a new thing right here, right now. Lord, we're ready. Oh, we're willing. Forget the former things. Behold, He's doing a new thing right here, right now.
Right here, right now, Lord.
We're letting go. Oh, looking to You, looking to You, and only You. Oh, I see a light. Signs on the rising. We're trading beauty for ashes, and I run to the one I love. Oh, we're ready, Lord, we're ready. Forget the former things. Behold, He's doing a new thing right here, right now. Oh, we're here. Forget the former things. Behold, He's doing a new thing right here, right now. All our hearts, all our hearts, Jesus. Forget the former things. Behold, He's doing a new thing right here, right now. In surrender, oh, we're ready. Forget former things. Behold, he's doing a new thing right here, right now. We're letting go.
Man, that's what I sense in my spirit right now. If I could just be obedient to that. I feel like there's some of you that need a suddenly moment. Like you need an immediate breakthrough. You've got a child out there that needs a breakthrough like now. You've got something, a doctor's report. You've got something in your life. You've just got a situation that you say, if God doesn't intervene, I'm headed for disaster. And I need a now moment. And if that's you, I just want you to line up along the side over there by the screen on this side over here and just line up down that side. If you say, I need a now moment, I need the Holy Spirit, just lift your hands. I want to come lay hands on. Paul, would you come? Kevin? Is it Kevin or Paul? I always call you. What do they call you? Paul? Kevin. I've always called him Paul Dollar at school, man. He was the biggest wrestler. He was so tough. Still is, man. Still is. If you need a now moment, line up in one line over there. And Pastor, if I could get the oil out of that box over there. I just want to lay hands on you real quickly and believe God for an impartation from a man who is dead, from a man who's received healing, that the supernatural healing power of God is on my life. And I want to pray for you for a now moment for God just to move miraculously in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. All right. Amen. 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 Come on, lift your hands, everybody. This is a now moment with God. Father, in the name of Jesus, now. Now, in the name of Jesus, we receive it. Suddenly, Lord God, now. In Jesus' name, let these children be released. Set them free in Jesus' name. Now, in the name of Jesus, fire of God be upon her now. Now, in Jesus' name, glory of God, now, we receive it now, we receive it now, God, breakthrough now, testimony, Lord God, give us the testimony now, thank you, Lord Jesus, God, let it be now, in Jesus' name, in so Jesus' name.
Can we get everybody to extend a hand over there, those who are being prayed for?
Now, in Jesus' name, now.
We'll just begin to pray for the miraculous to be manifested.
Now, let it be now. Now, give him a now moment, God. Fire of God be upon him now, in Jesus' name. Now, we receive it now. Glory of God, now.